He needs to kind of watch what's happening over the course of the next several days and make sure that things aren't progressing.
President Trump is hospitalized for coronavirus. It's Monday, October 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, world reaction pours in. Senate Republicans move ahead on Supreme Court. The longest living U.S. president. Water on Mars. And mythical creatures. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump remains hospitalized at Walter Reed Medical Center following a positive coronavirus test and exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19. Trump was flown by helicopter from the White House late Friday as a precautionary measure. A short time ago, his physician, Dr. Sean Conley, said he continues to do well and hinted Mr. Trump might return to the White House very soon. Doctors at Walter Reed have administered so far experimental treatments, the drug remdesivir, and two antibody regimens, along with steroids. Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis has thrown a contentious election into further disarray. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the story.
Americans woke up to shocking news Friday, first announced by President Donald Trump via Twitter around 1 a.m., that he and the First Lady have tested positive for COVID-19. The President's advisor, Hope Hicks, has also contracted the coronavirus. She had been traveling with the President, who had been campaigning heavily in recent days, on a message that despite the pandemic, the country is on its way back to normal.
Well, this is very much the message that things are not normal, and he's not going to be able to do these at least for 2 weeks or so with the quarantine.
In a statement, the White House physician said he expected Trump to continue carrying out his duties without disruption while recovering. As a 74-year-old man, Trump is considered high risk by medical experts.
He's just recently been exposed. He needs to kind of watch what's happening over the course of the next several days and make sure that things aren't progressing.
Trump's illness has triggered concerns over the continuity of government.
If the president really were to be so sick that he would need to step away from office, there is a provision in the 25th Amendment which allows him to transfer the power to the vice president and then return when he is recovered.
Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis has thrown an already tumultuous election just a month away into further disarray, leading to questions such as what could happen to the Trump-Pence ticket if the president's condition took a turn for the worse.
Presuming President Trump is no longer able to serve, we would probably see Vice President Pence moving to the top of the ticket. But then the question is, who would be the vice presidential nominee? That's a big question.
On Tuesday, Trump debated Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, where he continued to downplay the importance of masks.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Biden and Trump were far apart on the stage and had no physical contact. In a tweet, Biden offered his prayers, wishing Trump and First Lady Melania Trump a swift recovery. Biden has tested negative and has no plans to scale back campaigning, which has largely consisted of small outdoor events. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. India records 100,000 COVID deaths. Solomon's no longer coronavirus free. New South Wales sees ninth day without locally transmitted COVID cases. Rohingya complain of treatment on remote Bangladeshi island. Pompeo to proceed with Asia trip despite Trump COVID-19 diagnosis. Why Vietnam is asking other Asian countries to help squelch fake news. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Please also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington, and we continue with VOA Asia. Messages are pouring in from leaders around the world after President Donald Trump announced early Friday that he and his wife had tested positive for the coronavirus. He said on Twitter that he and the First Lady would begin their quarantine process immediately and will get through it together. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
World leaders are reaching out to President Donald Trump after he said he and his wife have contracted the coronavirus. The head of the World Health Organization wished the couple a speedy recovery.
Overnight, we heard that the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, and First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19. I want to start today by wishing them both a full and swift recovery. Our prayers are with them.
Addressing the media at the end of the two-day European Union summit, where leaders discussed the virus and its impact on the economy, German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
I would like to use this opportunity to wish U.S. President Donald Trump and his wife Melania a very full and speedy recovery as quickly as possible from their COVID-19 infection.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador did the same.
I take this opportunity to wish the President of the United States and his wife a quick recovery.
The Kremlin released a statement saying Russian President Vladimir Putin sent a telegram to the White House. In the statement, Putin writes in Russian, "I am sure that your inherent vitality, good spirits, and optimism will help you cope with the dangerous virus." In Nigeria, many newspapers reported Trump's coronavirus infection on their front pages. Abiodun Ayinde, an accountant and tax expert in Lagos.
All of us have to be careful. No one is immune. American president is contacted, so we have to be careful. Stay safe. Use face mask.
A White House official said Friday the president was experiencing mild symptoms. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, 50 Republican and Democratic senators have signed a letter encouraging U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer to begin formal negotiations on a comprehensive trade agreement with Taiwan. The island is one of the 11 largest U.S. trading partners as tensions have risen between Washington and Beijing. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's great to start out a brand new week with you on VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us. U.S. lawmakers have been meeting with President Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who would fill the seat left empty by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If confirmed as expected, Barrett will have a critical impact on court decisions on a range of issues impacting life in the United States, from abortion to health care to this November's presidential election. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports.
The historic confirmation battle over U.S. federal Judge Amy Coney Barrett kicked off on Capitol Hill this week as Senate Republicans met and praised the mother of seven nominated by President Donald Trump late last month.
President Trump has nominated exactly the kind of outstanding person whom the American people deserve to have on their highest court.
The death of liberal Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg left the U.S. Supreme Court with only eight justices just weeks before Election Day. Republicans argue that without Barrett on the court, there is a risk that an evenly split court would be unable to decide any conflict over the presidential election.
It would create a constitutional crisis. That's part of the reason the Senate needs to act and act swiftly, so that we have nine justices that can resolve any issue.
But Democrats say that is the very reason Barrett should not be confirmed.
Democrats are pressing her to recuse herself, should she be seated, given that she was appointed by someone that will ultimately be on the ballot, who she might decide to either to keep in power or to decide to remove him from power.
If seated, Barrett would also immediately hear a key case deciding the legality of the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, the program expanding access to health insurance passed during the Obama administration.
This is not a joke to the 20 million Americans who could lose their health insurance if the ACA is struck down. Not a joke to the parent of a child who has cancer, who would have to watch helpless as their child suffers if protections for pre-existing conditions are struck down.
Republicans argue the ACA overreaches and their not-yet-released plan would cover pre-existing conditions. The 48-year-old Barrett could serve for decades on the court, making key decisions that will impact the lives of young voters like Sean Yetter.
I'm not a huge fan of Barrett. Some of her opinions on like health care, on like access to health care and specific rights, I think are counterintuitive. I think it's a step backwards from progress Ruth Bader Ginsburg had made.
But Barrett's confirmation would be seen as a win for many anti-abortion conservatives who have praised Trump's court nominations.
You're seeing policies that are being passed right now that are supporting the pro-life movement. And they're supporting women.
Democratic voters are concerned the devoutly Catholic judge will overturn decisions on abortion and gay marriage.
I don't necessarily want someone's own personal religious views affecting the decision for everyone.
Judge Barrett has said her faith does not influence her judicial decisions, a concern congressional Democrats expressed at her 2017 confirmation hearing for a federal judgeship.
The dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern.
Republicans say such concerns violate a key American value.
Her religion and how she practices her religion ought not to be a disqualifier, because we appreciate freedom of religion.
Barrett's confirmation hearings get underway on October 12th. And the Senate could hold a full floor vote on her nomination as early as October 26. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, the South Pacific archipelago of New Caledonia has voted to remain part of France. Election authorities said just over 53% of more than 180,000 registered voters rejected independence in a referendum Sunday. At least 80% of eligible voters went to the polls. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Jimmy Carter has become the first former U.S. president to reach the age of 96. His birthday was October 1st. But during the last year, Carter has suffered a series of health setbacks. As he turns 96, VOA's Kane Faribault reports there are several new films and a book that put the Georgia peanut farmer in the spotlight as the pandemic keeps him out of the public eye.
When he spoke to VOA last September, ahead of his 95th birthday, former President Jimmy Carter, who survived a battle with cancer in 2015, hinted that his age was catching up to him.
I fell down a few months ago and broke my left hip, so I'm having to learn how to walk again, and so my actual movements are restrained a little bit.
Several days after the interview, Carter fell again at his home in Plains, Georgia. An injury visible in Nashville, Tennessee, during his annual Habitat for Humanity home building project with his wife, Rosalind.
Yesterday, I fell down and hurt my forehead and got a black eye, but I'm doing well. I feel good enough to build houses.
Further examination revealed Carter's injury created a buildup of blood on his brain, requiring surgery, followed by a long recovery.
He had to struggle to recover his speech and his mobility.
Author Jonathan Alter says his recent health setbacks and now restrictions amid the pandemic have impacted Carter's once busy schedule.
COVID is frustrating for him. He doesn't like church on Zoom. He likes to go to Maranatha. He hasn't been able to teach Sunday school class, which was very important to him.
Alter, who interviewed Carter numerous times since 2015 while writing his new biography of the former president, titled His Very Best, says the Carters are still engaged in the work of their global nonprofit Carter Center and are closely watching the 2020 election campaign.
The only time Jimmy Carter is really unhappy is when he's not busy. So I thought it was very interesting that he he met with Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, and Klobuchar when they made the pilgrimage to Plains earlier this year. And even now, like maybe as we speak, he is working the phones, talking to donors.
Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter also recorded audio for a video segment during the Democratic National Convention in July, supporting nominee Joe Biden, who, as a senator from Delaware in 1976, was among the first in Congress to support Carter's successful run for the White House.
There's a lot of comparisons between the Carter campaign in 1976, even though he was obscure and outsider and Biden is an insider. A lot of differences between them, but where they are quite similar is that Carter was running right after Watergate, and he talked about healing, which is something that Joe Biden talks about now. They have a similar kind of moderate Democrat approach to governing.
That approach is explored in several upcoming films, including Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President, which explores Carter's outsider campaign for the White House.
I was very determined to get the hostages released.
And Desert One, a documentary that delves into Carter's fateful decision in 1980 to authorize a military rescue of American hostages in Iran, an event that contributed to his 1980 election loss to Republican Ronald Reagan.
Carter was always honest, always intelligent, always studying issues and was on top of the question.
Former Vice President Walter Mondale worked alongside Carter during their 1977 to 1981 White House term to normalize relations with China and negotiate the Camp David peace accords between Egypt and Israel, among other initiatives. He continues to look to Carter, who was only 3 years older, for guidance on living a long life.
I'm going to find out and take some of that stuff. This is amazing. At his age, he's strong, wants to be part of things. He's studying all the issues, yet he's still a main contender in the issues of our country.
Issues including a new role for the Carter Center, which plans to focus on the upcoming U.S. election in November. A first for the organization, well known around the world, for monitoring over 100 troubled elections. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, Italian scientists have shown evidence of Martian saltwater, raising hopes of finding tiny Martian life swimming in it. NASA says an air leak aboard the International Space Station does not threaten the crew, and SpaceX's next batch of Starlink satellites will need to find another ride into orbit. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the week in space.
At Cape Canaveral in Florida, SpaceX Thursday canceled its launch of the next batch of Starlink satellites. This video from August shows a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket carrying 57 satellites to space. The company says its manufactured constellation will provide internet service to underserved parts of the world. But astronomers warn they will not be able to study the sky beyond the Starlink network. SpaceX blamed Thursday's cancellation on a sensor reading. Also this week, flight controllers woke up the crew aboard the International Space Station, or ISS, to hunt down an air leak. ISS Deputy Manager Kenny Todd.
We went through a several-hour activity, and we think we got, again, some more data. We got a finer point on where we think the leak is, and we have a leak detector on board, and now we'll start to really put some focus in the service module and try to work with our Russian colleagues to get that taken care of.
NASA says the leak poses no threat to ISS crew. In other news, an underground lake beneath the South Pole on Mars may indicate a network of salty ponds. Italian scientists say this raises the prospect of the existence of microbial Martian life swimming in those waters. The Italian Space Agency's Angelo Olivieri.
We are more than satisfied. With this new discovery, it becomes a milestone regarding our understanding of Mars. The Mars's radar can penetrate the subsurface, and for this research, those images obtained are for the most part radargrams.
Scientists based their findings on more than 100 radar observations by the Mars Express mission from 2010 to 2019. The surface temperature at Mars's south pole is minus 113 degrees Celsius but gets warmer below the surface. Researchers suggest future Mars missions target the region. Finally, this week, NASA released this promotional video touting the October 31st NASA SpaceX Crew 1 mission bound for the ISS. It will be the first crew rotation mission with four astronauts flying aboard a commercial spacecraft and the first involving an international partner. Soichi Noguchi from Japan's JAXA Space Agency will be on board the flight. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Mysterious creatures like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster are more than just fun, scary stories that we tell ourselves. Myths and superstitions that are passed down through the generations can provide insight into a culture's perspective. As VOA's Dora McCarr reports, they can also function as a warning.
No one knows if Mothman is real, but his legend certainly is in the state of West Virginia.
The Mothman story started here in Point Pleasant in November 1966. On the 15th of November, you had two young couples riding around the outskirts of town at night about 11 o'clock, and they came across what they thought was just a large bird. It chased them in their car, chased them back into the city limits.
More sightings of a giant bird-like creature followed.
Most people that saw it described this as about 6 to 7 foot tall, grayish in color, large wingspan, 10 to 12 feet, and it had two distinct red eyes, about the size of baseballs. Nobody ever reported anybody being attacked or harmed or anything.
Experts say creatures like Mothman are part of American folklore that reveal something about our fears and anxieties, and our understanding that there are mysteries in the world that are beyond normal comprehension.
The idea that there are non-human creatures that inhabit the earth and communicate and interact with humans is as old as human storytelling itself. Today we talk about UFO abductions, but in ancient Ireland and up until the early 20th century, there were stories of people who were abducted by fairies. It's the same thing with mythical creatures like the Mothman or Bigfoot, that there might be creatures out there who inhabit the earth and share the same landscapes, but don't necessarily interact with us or even are known to us.
Stories like Mothman can help explain the relationship between people and their communities. Many people believe Mothman served as a signal of impending danger. In this case, to warn locals of a bridge collapse that ended up killing 46 people.
The Mothman is more of a representation of the fact that people don't necessarily feel like people in charge, like their politicians or the people who are running factories and mines, can be trusted. So they need the help of this magical creature to warn them and protect them.
Mythical creatures might not be real, but the impact they can have on the local economy is. Once Point Pleasant fully embraced the Mothman legend, visitors and their dollars poured in.
Well, our town was empty, basically. We had very few stores. And the movie Mothman Prophecies came out. And I said to myself, we need a Mothman. So I knew a guy, took him about a year, and he made the Mothman. This town is busy every day because of the Mothman. He's done his job for Point Pleasant. He's really put us on the map.
Mothman and other mysterious creatures are how Americans learn their culture and the stories we tell ourselves about the world. And, according to the experts, they are not necessarily fake. Dora McQuarr, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, Twitter as well, Instagram and YouTube, as well as VOAnews.com. For more on the stories you've heard on our program and for all the latest as President Trump continues to recover from coronavirus. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank those who help bring the program to you each day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.